Talks Experimental.
T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. All three engines up and burning.
Okay. All right. Welcome to TJ Talks. I'm Judd.
And I'm Teresa.
And it's Friday. We tried to do this on a Monday, but we had a technical glitch that we just felt we would just delay until we had some more time and get this right.
Well, we needed the conventions to be over.
Yeah.
Let's be honest, right? We needed to have a full plate of things to talk about.
That's for sure. We have 2 weeks of convention talk. But, you know, I really want to talk about this thing that you have on your arm.
Oh, absolutely. I will gladly share with you that I am now the proud owner of an Apple Watch. And I will fully admit it's the most unnecessary thing that mankind has ever come up with. And I am so glad I have it and I love it and I'll never live without one. And I'm very much sold on its funness, its fashion sense. I got interchangeable bands for it and it's really cool. It's very fun. I can talk into my wrist like Dick Tracy. And like I said, totally unnecessary, but now I can't live without it.
Really? It's that good, huh?
I think so. And the only negative is, and for those of you who are Fitbitters, it keeps track of your steps, but it doesn't talk to Fitbit. So I have to wear a Fitbit on the other arm because I like my Fitbit friends and that whole social network of Fitbit folks. So I do have to have two devices. Now, this Fitbit device, to me, looks like a house arrest bracelet. So even though it's not, I sort of feel like I look like Lindsay Lohan. Now, I guess if I put it on my ankle, it would really look like a house arrest device. But
which Fitbit is that one?
So this is the Fitbit Alta.
That's what I was thinking about buying.
The replacement band.
Ah.
I like the fashion forward bands.
I see.
Yes. Yeah. And it's fun. It's great. It's, you know, it's everything about Fitbit that you like, all the stats on your, you know, one click on your app, and that's fun. And the Apple Watch has a health thing, and they count your steps and the floors and all that same stuff. But we have all of these fun Fitbit friends now. You and I share them, right?
Yeah.
And we have our Fitbit challenges, and I've got all my Fitbit, my Fitness Pal food stuff in there. So I didn't want to give up that technology completely. Maybe once I lose my last 15 pounds, I will I will forego my Fitbit. But until then, it's a real important physical reminder every day to keep moving, more so than the Apple Watch would be. So if I have it on, I'm stepping.
Okay. Well, there we go. I'm I want one. I can't tell you how bad I want an Apple Watch, but I've been waiting and delaying for, I believe, October. I think they're going to release another watch.
Of course. I'm surprised they didn't release one the day after I bought this one, right? Like, I knew it was going to happen.
Did you buy it or did you get it as a gift?
No, I bought it for myself as a gift, as a present for some success for the week. So I treated myself. I've had this on my list of things to get when I reached a certain accomplishment. I got an accomplishment a little bit sooner than I thought, so I treated myself to the watch.
That's awesome. I am congratulations. I think that's terrific. And man, now I'm jonesing.
I mean, if you, I think the only thing that's going to be different about the next one, well, one thing for sure, I think is improved battery life, right? I mean, if that's one of the things on their list to do, it literally will last a day, or at this point, it's lasted a day for me. I get up and it's on the charger. By the end of the night when I go to bed, I'm only about 20% of battery left. So there would be no 2 days of use. It will definitely need to be charged every day.
Yeah.
So if they could make it with a better and bigger battery, I think it would be a good thing. But for now, for me, I'm liking it.
That's the only thing I care about that they fix is the battery life. Other than that, that I would be happy with the watch as it is.
Right. So. And the battery charger is some weird, different kind of charger. Of course, it doesn't fit anything else that you already have. And I am one of those people who, A, misplaces chargers or loses them in hotel rooms or whatever. So I bought a second charger to start. So now I've got one in the briefcase, one at home. Hopefully I won't, you know, lose them too quickly. But for the ease of tech use and, you know, when I'm driving, instead of I don't have a Bluetooth built into my car, so I can use the phone briefly instead of picking up my other phone. Yes, it's a distraction still. I get that. But it's better than manhandling the other phone. So, yeah, it's very fun. Cool. I can't Pokemon on it, though. That's the only problem.
What?
It won't do my Pokemon app. I have to actually hold my phone for Pokemon.
Oh, God. Pokemon. That's stupid. Let's talk about that for a minute. So
yeah,
I have not done the Pokemon Go thing, and it's been blowing up. It's now, what, about two or three weeks max into the Pokemon Go business? Mm-hmm. And
yeah.
And so what is the deal, really?
So when you download the app and you walk around your neighborhood, your surroundings, your office, your whatever, the mall, you can have things that come at you in the Pokemon world. And they have a great interface, in my opinion, of using your built-in camera. And so as you're walking down the street, it pops up that there's a Pokemon in range, and you see the sidewalk that you're walking on, your neighborhood, and the little animated Pokemon, and you throw these little Pokeballs at it, and you catch it, and then you add to your collection. There's 100 and some odd different Pokemons to collect. You got to go to certain places to get certain ones. There's a little bit of challenge there. It's very interactive with other folks in the community. My sons and I have been walking around every night, essentially, around our blocks, and we see at least another two or three people or families out walking because of Pokemon. So of all the nerdiness and unnecessariness of it as a game, it is getting people outside. It's getting people some exercise. You know, one could argue that they're still glued to their phones, but at least they're moving.
So tell me, is there a monetary aspect to the game?
Well, there can be. And interestingly, I have a girlfriend who's, you know, level 18 or whatever, and I'm only on level 8, so I got a ways to go to catch up to her. But I know she has purchased some Pokeballs, because you get Pokeballs by going to Pokestops, and they give you some. But at some point, you run out of them. So you got to keep playing to keep staying in the game. But she likes to have a bankroll of Pokeballs. So she spent $10 or whatever and got a couple, like 100 or something. I mean, that's how they're getting it.
Because I saw a meme the other day where it said there was a pop-up of a Pokemon character, and it said, "You throw 20 of your Pokeballs at me, and then I disappear, and ha, ha, ha." and you don't catch a Pokemon.
Right. There are some that keep getting away. Now, the other internet meme that I read that I thought was super negative, and it's a world that I don't want to live in, but it was a meme that said, you know, people are out there Pokemoning at the Pentagon, in police stations. Supposedly at Gitmo, there's Pokemon, people playing Pokemon in and around Guantanamo Bay.
Okay.
And that we are using our phones with the cameras to get photographic evidence of all of these maybe top secret places, right? And that a foreign country has developed this game and has sold it to us in mass, and we're all just like lemmings. Here's a picture of my, you know, back alley on this street, or that all of this quote unquote intelligence could be being conveyed via this game. Now, I don't necessarily think that's what the makers of the Pokemon game were trying to do, to covertly get into top secret parts of the United States. If they were, then they're brilliant, and I guess maybe they deserve to be our overlords. I don't know, but I do feel like it's not that big of a deal. And 99.999% of people are not taking it to the Pentagon or Gitmo and getting it, you know, Pokemon there.
But what are they getting? You know, are they actually?
Oh, I agree.
Are they really broadcasting that video over the, you know, over their network and then up to some server that's holding all of this video from a million? Do you know how much data that would be?
Yes, just in users in California alone, right? So it's a massive amount of information. But
I can't get 5 gigs on my company server just to store some data, like important, like business files. But someone's storing, you know, terabytes of my Pokemon business. Is that right?
Yeah, right. Uh-huh. I can only imagine how much could be generated in an hour of, you know, globally of Pokemon users. So that'd be an interesting statistic to know. You know, I just don't believe. I don't live in that fear-mongering world, and we're going to talk about the fear-mongering world of the RNC, right?
Uh-huh. Right.
And but we do live in the cyber-hacking world of the DNC, so I get it. There's always things to be leery of. I just don't think Pokemon is how they're going to get us.
Mm-hmm. So let's see. The other question. So how many Pokemons do you have?
Ooh, let me tell you, because I love to play, and it has made me a better stepper because I'm out there every morning. If I do my route around my house.
Hate you and your steps, your Pokemon steps.
If I do my route around the house, I get 10 Pokestops.
Wow.
So I get, on average, 10 to 15 Pokeballs every time. Wow. I've got 55 Pokemons right now. So I'm working on it.
And what do you do with them? So what do you do with the Pokemons?
So you collect them. And then you can take them to battle other Pokemons. Now, that's part of the game I haven't gotten into yet. My kids are doing that a little bit. They know how to battle. I have, every Pokemon is worth so many points, and it has so much fighting power.
Mm-hmm.
And they are definitely able to be used. You can win other Pokemons that way. I call them Pokemons, and there's no plural. It's like Lego. There's only supposed to be the singular. But I call them Pokemons. So, yes, important safety tip. If somebody's really into it, they'll get annoyed with you if you add the S at the end. But you can battle them out. You can keep them. You can store them. You can transfer them. You can evolve them. They start out as one thing, and they can grow to three other kinds of things. And, this there's one called a Pidgey, and then it turns into a Pidgeotto, and then it turns into a Pidgeorama or something. I mean, they have the goofiest names, and it's all very silly and, once again, unnecessary. But it's fun.
And who came up with these names? I thought people were naming the Pokemons.
Oh, good question. I don't know if there's a chance to publicly name your own Pokemon. They have cute little names, and they have stories. Some of them are weird stories, like one called Cubone. It wears the skull of its mother from birth or something, so it sort of implies, what is that, matricide, that you kill your mother to get her skull. I mean, there's some weird stuff that goes on in Pokemon. I just like it because it makes cute noises and the little guys are fluffy and cute. Okay. So that's my deal.
All right. Well, Pokeon, I won't bother you about it so much except for when you're getting steps, because that's the only part that bothers me, is that I'm losing to all of the all this awesome motivation that people get from playing games. It's horrible. Okay. So I wasn't satisfied enough with my Pokemon talk with Teresa. I had to talk to my friend Cedric, who really is involved in this Pokemon business, and get his male perspective on the Pokemon phenomena. So here we go with my friend Cedric. Pokemon Go. You're playing.
Yes.
So how many Pokemons have you caught? I guess it's Pokemon. It's not plural. That's what I was told.
I have no idea. I didn't really follow it until now.
Yeah. So how many of these characters do you have?
That's a difficult question to ask because you get a lot of duplicates and you just end up transferring a lot so you can earn the candy, so you can evolve them and give them more powers.
Yeah.
But as far as unique Pokemons in my Pokedex,
yeah,
I've caught 62.
62. What's your favorite Pokemon that you've caught? And do you have Pikachu?
I do not have Pikachu.
What?
I have a lot of the common ones.
Yeah.
And I got a couple of new ones through hatching eggs.
So how do you go about catching these eggs?
It's a incubating eggs that's tough because you have to walk around, and I think that you have to have the app open.
Oh.
And I'm so busy doing other things when I'm walking around that.
So I hear that it drains people's battery down very quickly. That's been a problem for people.
I always carry at least 2 external batteries, so it doesn't bother me.
Yeah.
I know that you can turn off the augmented reality aspect of it, so when you're catching Pokemons, you don't use your camera.
I see.
One of the benefits of turning it off is that you don't have to have your camera facing up.
I see.
And looking weird. You can play it horizontally. That didn't sound right.
Oh, that's cool.
But it's nice. It's good.
Yeah. So what have you found is the best thing? Have you met people through this game? Or has it just been very, you know, singular social, like no social? Or is there a real social aspect to it?
There's a mix between the two. One of my favorite memories is being up in Cocoa Village.
Oh, huh.
There's a lot of pokey stops there. It was super dark at night. There were a lot of people there, a lot of different groups, single people, couples, groups of friends, older people, diverse backgrounds, and everyone is just so enamored. It was like The Walking Dead or something.
Yeah. So, do you get to battle? I hear that you can battle the Pokemons against each other, right?
I'm still learning. I feel like I'm kind of at that level.
Yeah.
You have gyms.
Gyms, yeah.
Gyms where a team takes over.
Yeah.
It's either blue, yellow, or red. And then if it's a different color than your own, then you can choose up to 6 Pokemons of your Pokemons to fight them.
Yeah.
And you try and cut down their gym strength. And once you bring it down to 0, you can put one of your Pokemon characters on there and earn coins.
Oh, cool.
And other prizes.
This is all virtual prizes.
Virtual prizes.
Can you beat up one of theirs and steal them, like if you win? Like
No. From what I've learned,
yeah.
If you fight them and you lose, you don't lose your Pokemon, you just have to give it some more strength.
I see.
You have to revive it.
Revive, okay.
But you can never lose your Pokemon, which is good to hear.
Because if I was going to do this, I would be figuring out ways to go get people's Pokemons from them. It'd be a total bully thing.
I heard that this is the next generation, the next upgrade. They want to do something like that where people can trade Pokemons.
Yeah. Well, you would want to be able to trade at least. But, you know, it's like that. You never watched the cartoon then, huh?
I tried watching one on Hulu. It was difficult.
Because they have these bad guys in the cartoon. It's Jesse and James, and they're always out trying to get the Pokemon from whatever his name is, the main character guy.
I was surprised by how violent they are to these characters.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if this was real life, it would be very dangerous. People really trying to hurt each other.
Use
these Pokemon.
Fire! Electrocute him! Squirtle, go! Or whatever, right?
I have no idea.
Go, Pokemon! No.
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 Do you see people stalking like that when they're actually engaged in their pokey catches?
I know that I make sounds whenever I'm throwing pokeballs.
Yeah.
It makes it more fun.
How many pokeballs do you currently have?
Let me check my items. I think I'm running low. I have a total of 13.
Okay.
Which is definitely not enough.
Because I saw a meme on the internet where they showed a Pokemon, and it says, throws 20 Pokeballs, instantly leaves before you catch it.
Pretty much.
Yeah?
Pretty much.
Wow. So it's not like you just click one and then you caught it.
Correct.
Wow.
And I found that certain Pokemons do that, such as the Spearow.
Yeah.
Those things are horrible.
Yeah. So they are elusive and hard to catch.
Yes.
There are some that you are not going to quickly catch them. Wow.
There's no guarantees.
So would you recommend this game for most people?
I would say get on it as soon as possible.
Yeah.
One of the rumors or things that people want is a Harry Potter themed one or a Disney themed one.
Yeah.
I think that if that happens, it's going to fracture the crowd.
Yeah.
This trend will probably suffer if there's competition. One of the joys of this I found is that it has captured the society's zeitgeist. The zeitgeist. Everyone is rallying around this one thing that not everyone is familiar with.
Yeah.
I think that's cool.
You think that security concerns are a big deal?
I think it's overblown. I think it's overblown.
Well, thanks for talking about some Pokemon Go stuff, since you are a avid player, and that it looks pretty cool over there. I see your map. So, very cool.
I'd like to say thanks once again to Cedric, who gave me some insight to what he's experiencing in the Pokemon universe. Now, back to our program.
Democrats put up their best shot at winning the presidency of the United States.
Yeah.
And here we are, the American people, are left holding the bag going, what the fuck?
Yeah. What do I do now? Well, we should come right out and say it. You know, this is not a journalistic podcast. This is a personal opinion podcast, correct?
Correct.
So I'm going to MSNBC myself all over the place and say, look, I was a Bernie supporter. I still am, but I also am a realist. So now I'm with her and I'm going to work to get her elected. And I worked to try to get Bernie elected. So I will do my part for the party. And I, you know, watched her speech last night, and it's the freshest thing in mind. And I thought the tone of it was great. I appreciated her progressive points that she would have never made had he not been so fervently involved in the race. So I think that she is a step in the right direction. Is she as big a step as I would have liked? Maybe not. Maybe she is. Maybe it remains to be seen.
See, my whole thought is that she is so polarizing that for some Americans, they will believe that, you know, they would rather go with the guy who retweets Klan members than Hillary, because they believe that Hillary somehow killed a U.S. ambassador. So, like she took the gun and shot him or something like that.
Absolutely. I had a guy, an Uber driver, tell me last weekend that he said he couldn't vote for Hillary Clinton because she killed those two guys at Whitewater. Now, A, that's not a thing that ever happened. And B, I think he's talking about Vince Foster. But, right. You, I mean, like, he was thinking it was that Whitewater was a place and that she went and shot somebody or something. That's how distorted the public's view of her is.
Right.
I'll admit, I probably have let some of that influence my thinking. But for me, it's influenced me in that I feel like she has had this sort of coronation waiting for her, right? And so she didn't get it with Obama, and now it's her turn. And so that sort of clenched fist grab on the nomination, what she thought, you know, was going to be a slam dunk a year ago, it wasn't. And I'm glad it wasn't, because I think she needed to see all the issues that are really facing folks.
So I've got, I'm going to throw a really big garbage can out there, and I want to know what your opinion is.
Okay.
So what happens if both candidates are forced to either A, step down, or are, like, indicted or whatever, you know, because, you know, both of them actually have some legal problems that still are kind of sitting out there. Trump just asked a foreign government to conduct espionage, hacking against us, never done in the history of, like, the world. And then, of course, Hillary still has the, you know, potential issues with her email scandals and stuff like that going on. So both of them are in some potential legal issues. What happens if one or both have to step down? Who becomes the second banana to step in? Their VP pick? Because that person was not elected. So then,
right. So then
who gets the nod?
It's the Frank Underwood system, right?
Not one single vote
could be cast, but these people could become the most powerful person in the world.
Fuck.
I guess that's an interesting precedent. I would assume that their VPs would take their nominations, although it would be unprecedented to say the least.
Well, and Mike Pence would beat Tim Kaine, I think. I didn't think that Tim Kaine was a really great speaker.
So did you see all the funny Tim Kaine tweets about how Tim Kaine is everybody's little league dad? And that, you know, he's just that nerdy, nice guy, gets the job done, and he's got all the camping equipment in his garage, and he's just an everyman, right? Mm-hmm. Now, whether or not he could beat Mike Pence, I don't know. I think at the end of the day, it would be a close race. And maybe the female vote might help Kane more than it would help Pence.
Oh yeah, for sure.
But I'm not thrilled about Tim Kaine being a diehard Catholic who, you know, says he legislates and handles abortion issues based on the law, which is pro-choice, right? Mm-hmm. But personally, he's not a fan. Well, sorry, Mr. Kaine, you don't have a uterus, so I don't care if you're a fan or not. And secondly, it is the law. So I just feel in 2016, why we're having that conversation is really frustrating.
Mm-hmm. So what'd you think of the conventions all in all?
You know, the Republicans and the Scott Baios and the Duck Dynasty guy and sort of the insanity of all that versus what did go on at the DNC. I will try to be objective to some point from a theatrical standpoint. Obviously, both were produced highly. There was lots of, you know, made for TV moments and the halls and the music and the this and the that. The Trump entering into the night of his speech with the We Are the Champions Freddie Mercury song and that weird rock star thing that he had going on, that seemed a little overstaged. And then Hillary seemed like after the end of her speech last night, she was wandering around and waving and giving the thumbs up. And then she spent a lot of time looking at the monitor behind her and not really engaging with the crowd. I thought she seemed awkward at the end of hers, and he seemed awkward at the beginning of his. Like, you know, I can imagine there's a lot going on for them, so I'm willing to give them the benefit of the doubt. But both of them have been doing this a long time. They're not strangers to media, so...
So I think the interesting thing for me is going to be watching the debates, watching presidential debates, because I think that we know that Trump's a bully.
And
Hillary, you know, I kind of see her like being backed in a corner and being forced to come out fighting in a way that you don't see her really having to rip anybody up, because Bernie Sanders was nice.
Right. I mean, he never held her feet to the fire in a way that was not appropriate in a debate, for sure.
Like, Bernie Sanders never said to her in a debate, "You're a crooked, Hillary." And, you know, and just try to like, let me poke you and make you pissed off and say really nasty things about you. He attacked her positions. You know, Sanders attacked positions, but not character. And this is going to be all about character.
Right. And the good news is, in that regard, she has the upper hand, right? Even with all of her scandals, so be it. She doesn't have that. She doesn't have that viper thing about her where I think he certainly does. People will be expecting that from him. They'll expect her to be defensive but strong. And I will say this, and from a Toastmasters point of view, I thought both of them were interesting in that they're both not really good speech givers. He's not comfortable, and she's sort of robotic and kind of talks to you like a third grade teacher talks to kids.
Mm-hmm.
So then you watch someone like Obama speak, or even Joe Biden for that matter. Like, there's just a different cadence and a different air when they speak, and you're just involved in it, right?
Malarkey.
Yeah, right? Whereas both of them were sort of speaking at you, but not with you.
Mm-hmm.
And their speeches, we could dissect them, you know, for 27 hours and have all kinds of good and bad points about them. But their flow and their presence at oration, they don't have anything on Obama, right? He's just a master orator. And Michelle Obama, for that matter, too.
Oh, yeah.
She was great.
I saw someone say, "Write in Michelle. If you want a woman for president, there you go."
Right. I do. What do you think about all this? You know, it's the first female candidate of a major party. Well, poor Jill Stein. She's been out there for a while, and she's certainly a candidate. And I would say, although it's a fringe party, the Green Party is recognized. Do you think that that's insulting to her? Or do you think it's a legitimate moniker to say Hillary is the first female candidate?
If the party has never been elected to the office of presidency, they don't count.
They don't count. Okay, fair
you
enough.
I, that's all I'm going to say is that, you only get credibility. Because you know what? I could make my own party tomorrow. Sure. I can register a party and be the first whatever, you know.
Right. The first Judd Spitzer ever nominated, yeah. Right?
Right. Yeah. You know, anybody can run for office. You can run as an independent for office if you want to spend the money and get your name on the ballot. You don't have to even have signatures.
Right.
So you know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I think maybe part of my, I want to say Hillary exhaustion or my, you know, the thing about her is that I don't love this female, first female. Like, I'm a little bit over that. And I understand the importance of it and the historical value of it. But I also don't like that implied vote for her because she's female part of it. That part never set well with me. Just like vote for Obama because he's black didn't set well with me. Vote for Obama because he's the best candidate, right? And I would say the same about her. It even though we're a little bit beyond the we need a woman, this is the woman's time, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. I want to stop talking about that part, you know?
You mean we weren't going to vote for Bernie Sanders because he's Jewish?
Well, according to the DNC, he's not Jewish. Remember, they're the ones who think he's a godless heathen. So.
Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who's like this super Jew there, huh? Of course, I say this being Jewish myself, and I find it very disheartening to see that kind of shenanigan happen.
The Jew-on-Jew crime?
Yeah, I do. I find that really pisses me off, you know?
It's not kosher.
It is not kosher. And then, of course, Wasserman Schultz, she steps down from all this stuff, and she's still going to be in the House.
Well, yeah, she's already on the campaign, right? She's with her now.
She's going to, you know what she's going to be? She's going to become chief of staff in the White House. That's what they're going to make her. And when this is all said and done,
that's the job to have, don't you think?
I'm telling you.
I think that's the job. I watch all Scandal and, of course, House of Cards and all these great shows. And I'm thinking, President Schmezadin, I want to be chief of staff because you get to go home at the end of the night, sort of. And you don't have to answer the 3 a.m. phone call and push the nuclear code, but you have all the influence, all the power, and all the access to the White House kitchen.
Running the show. You watch out. Wasserman Schultz is going to be sitting there running the show, just like, what's his name, up in Chicago? What's his name?
Rahm
Emanuel. Same deal. You know?
And he's a badass. I mean, I would not cross Rahm Emanuel. So I think that's the job to get. Because VP doesn't mean anything. Vice president doesn't mean anything, in theory. So you really have the president's ear if you're the chief of staff.
Yeah, that's the buddy. The VP is just the backup in case you die. Of course, he also breaks the ties in the Senate.
Right.
But think about this. Do you realize we haven't had a female vice president ever?
Correct. Farrow didn't get it when she ran with the...
Right.
Yeah.
So it's the leapfrog. So it wasn't like, you know, we had a female vice president. Now we'll have a female president. Of course, we never had a black vice president or any other minority that I can think of.
So, and this might take us on a tangent and tell me if you want me to shut up. But the new Ghostbusters movie came out a week or so ago. The reboot of Ghostbusters with Wayne.
I've seen it.
And the parallel that I heard that was interesting is that it's gotten a lot of bashing. You saw it. Did you like it? Was it a thumbs up for you?
Yeah, it was mostly, I would say, more thumbs up than thumbs down.
Okay. But in your opinion, was it a movie that needed to be remade at all?
No, didn't need to be remade.
Right. And so being remade and with an all-female cast, it just didn't put enough spin on it to make it new or exciting for me. And here again, I was supposed to like it because I'm a chick. And I'm supposed to like everything that women do. So I haven't seen it. Not out of any principled thing. I just haven't been to the movies.
I liked it because Dan Aykroyd and Bill Murray and what's her name? The lady who played their secretary. Mm-hmm. Annie Potts. And all the cast, with the exception of Rick Moranis, was in the movie.
Oh, interesting. So they were really paying homage to it and treating it nicely.
Yes. And Dan Aykroyd executive produced it.
So there are movies, and there was an article that I read, and this is why I'm going to ask you this.
Yeah.
That as a country, we were very nervous and very aware of the fact that we would appear racist as a country if we didn't elect Obama back in 2008. That was a big deal. That race thing was a big deal. And we had to sort of prove to us, ourselves and the world, that we weren't a racist country at heart. So race was a big deal. And we voted for a black president. And then we've seen the counter effects of that afterwards. But making sure we weren't racist was a big deal. Well, making sure we're not sexist is not a big deal to the American population as making sure we're not racist. Is this making sense to you? Like this whole concept that as a national subconscious, we wanted to get over our race hurdle, right? But right. As a national subconscious, the fact that women don't earn as much, don't make as much, don't do as much to some, like that's not a big thing that needs to be overcome. And in the making of, in putting it into movie terms, there are movies that are remade with all black casts. I'll use Annie as an example.
Right.
The movie's not lambasted because it has an all black cast and a traditionally all white cast Broadway show in the movie, because we accept that. We don't want to appear racist. But the Ghostbusters movie has been lambasted because it's an all female version of what was a man's movie and blah, blah, blah. So
right.
That is an interesting dialogue as a country to have. And I know I was just spending 10 minutes talking about the fact that I'm tired of hearing that she's a woman. That's because I've evolved to this place where I'm tired of talking about gender. But as a nation, I don't think we're ready to be done with that.
Well, you know, I want to address that dialogue about the movie versus women versus a minority. Of course, we don't see this done with any other minorities where, like, it's not the all Asian Annie cast or the all Hispanic Annie cast, but we've seen this done with The Wizard of Oz.
Right.
Right. How many times have we seen that done with African Americans in shows where they've done this?
But we don't say anything about the fact that it was rebooted with a ethnic cast.
Right.
But this one, we're definitely saying, why reboot this with females? Right.
Well, I
think it's a valid argument.
You know, they didn't like try to say that these are the new. It was almost as if the old Ghostbusters never existed in this movie. That's okay. How they did this movie. It's like that didn't happen, and this is brand new Ghostbusters.
Interesting.
So they didn't like try to like continue on the Ghostbusters and pass the torch. Like there used to be Ghostbusters, and. So, I don't know. I mean, they are different people with different personalities, quirks. I mean, even what's her name from Aliens?
Sigourney Weaver.
Yeah, yes. She even has a cameo.
Oh, good. Okay.
Which was an awesome cameo. I mean, just loved it. You know,
nice.
Stick around for the credits when you get a chance to watch this movie because it's worth it. But, you know, in your case, it may just be a video, you know.
Yeah, you never, I mean, I wouldn't have a problem going to see it. I never have a problem going to any movie. And it's, especially because the last movie I saw was such a dud, that Swiss Army Man about the rigor mortis, Daniel Radcliffe. That movie was insane. So if anyone has seen Swiss Army Man and wants to tell me different, I would love to hear that. But it was so weird.
So, because I'm planning on seeing the Bourne movie this weekend.
Oh, good. You know, I've never seen one of those. So.
What? Oh my God, go watch the first one before you ever go see this. It is so good. You'll be like, oh my God, that's so good.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Now, we talked a lot about the Democrats. Do we want to talk about the Republicans more? You were asking what I thought one versus the other. What did you think? Production style, speaking style, R versus D?
I don't know. I think that neither one of them seemed to have – well, I think that Democrats had better production. I think
and way more balloons.
Yeah, way more balloons, and but the transitions and the music and everything seem to work really well for them. Where I think that for whatever reason, the Republicans just do not have the, you know, I think that they beat up on Hollywood so much that the people that really make that kind of stuff, you know, the real pros just don't show up.
They didn't have J.J. Abrams doing their pieces in the middle.
But I have to say that what is was one different thing compared to, comparing the two is the Michael Bloomberg deal.
Yes.
You did not have any independent people stand up at the Republican National Convention and say, hey, I was a lifelong Democrat and I just can't vote for Hillary and here's my reasons. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when Michael Bloomberg, a multi-billionaire, stands up there from the same city as this guy and worked with this guy because he was the mayor, an elected official, and goes on a, 15-minute tirade about, you know, why Trump should not be the president. I'm just like, well, that's a hard act to follow for anybody.
That was compelling, for sure.
For me, it was. Because I'm an independent, and I really don't. I feel that Hillary is polarizing. I think she comes with the same kind of baggage that the Bushes come with. You know, if Jeb Bush had become the Republican nominee, you would have go, fuck, now we got another dynasty thing going on here. We've already had senior, junior, now this, what the fuck? You know, it's just, you would feel like it's a cabal and it's rigged. And then you feel the same way here. It's like, what the fuck? It's all rigged. And so now you got Trump the outsider, right? But he's not really an outsider. He's a guy, he's a demagogue bully. And then you've got, you know, and so you're like, what the fuck do I do?
You don't write in Bernie.
No, you don't write in Bernie.
You don't.
But Bernie Sanders asked you not to do that.
Right. Bernie said so. So don't do it.
Bernie said so. Right. So
I belong to a Facebook group called Bernie Sanders Supporters Not Bothering Others, because it's a group of people who were committed and knew that their entire families and friends were tired of hearing about it. So it was a fun little Facebook page. And then my ode to that this morning was a video of me taking down my Bernie sign out of my yard and putting it on the side of the house now to rest. So it's over. I'm moving on. I'm with her.
I don't think that the Bernie thing is over exactly, though. I think that he still is going to have this whole, you know, he has all these people in his, you know, in his
He still has momentum, and he could use that. So we'll see.
He can make a phone call anytime he needs. Excuse me. He needs to.
Exactly. Yeah. So you're right.
And say, hey, you know, all you guys out there, I just want you to know, I'm still around, and if they fuck this up, I'm coming after them, and I'm bringing you all with me. Because I know if he would have been president, what he would have done is anytime that things weren't going his way, he would have got on an email and he would have said, all right, everybody, I need you to go to your congressman and senator's offices right now. Right now. Just get over there, because his people are crazy enough to do it. And absolutely, they would have done whatever it took to support their guy. And I don't that's the leverage that Obama didn't use when he had it when he was president.
Initially, he had it.
He did. Because that's the difference, is he needed to, like, but I think, so. Anyways, we only have a couple minutes. We should wrap up.
We should. But this is good. It feels good to purge some of this stuff, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You got to get it out.
But we got lots more other stuff other than politics to talk about coming up in the next week and a half. So we will be back on, hopefully on Monday, the following.
Absolutely. Sounds good.
All right. Well, for TJ Talks, I'm not going to even review what we talked about because it's basically Pokemon and politics.
Yes. My two favorite things the last 2 weeks.
I know. All right. For TJ Talks, I'm Jed.
And I'm Teresa.
We'll catch you later.
Later.